Now, we are all legally required to complete the census form this Saturday. Earlier, I was joined by archivist and historian Katrina Crowe, and I began by asking her, when was the first census and why was it done?
Well, censuses are always to do with government control, and that the original censuses, which go back 4,000 years to Babylon, believe it or not, were about taxes, as were the Roman and Greek censuses and all the other ones since, more or less. So it's about counting the population to see how much tax the government can collect. It's become, of course, vastly more complicated and interesting than that since it first began. The first census here was a bit of a one in 1813, a more full-blown one in 1821, a bit of a half-arsed one in 1831, and a very good and professional one, both in Ireland and in Britain. And of course, we were part of the United Kingdom in 1841, which is professionalized. And one of the census commissioners here in 1841 was Sir William Wilde, the father of Oscar Wilde. He had a big interest in epidemiology and disease, so he asked questions about that and thus gave us a very interesting picture of illness and sickness and mortality in Ireland before the famine. After that, it proceeds at 10 yearly intervals until 1911. There was supposed to be a census in 1921, but of course there couldn't be because the enumerators would have been killed by the IRA as being representatives
agents of the state.
British government, the agents of the state. We don't want that to happen to our lovely enumerators. So the next one after that was 1926. What survives of all of our lovely censuses are, alas, in full, only the before 1922, the 1901 and 1911 censuses, the last census to be taken under the British administration here. And I had the privilege and good fortune to be able to put those online 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, in the National Archives.
Yeah, then tell us about this. Is the Irish Census Online Project, and it's an amazing archive that's available to all of us now.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, it was a no-brainer, Katie, because digitization was becoming popular in the 1990s, 2000s in archives all over the world as a way of reaching more readers, as we call them, not customers or clients, readers. And when we looked at what were, by any stretch, the most popular records we had, they were the two census records of 1901 and 1911. So we did a deal with the Library and Archives of Canada that they would actually digitize these for us because they had the infrastructure that we didn't have. They gave us a fantastic deal on it, and they were able to give us for the first time a names index. Up to that, these records, believe it or not, have been open since 1961. The reason we were able to do that is the fantastic idea that these records were taken by the British, therefore we had no obligation to observe any of their legal restrictions. So they've been open since 1961. The same, alas, does not apply to the 1926 census, the next one we got, which is shut like an iron door until 2026, despite many pleas to the Central Statistics Office to open it up a little bit early, like they are doing in other countries. But that's another day's work. So we digitized the census records. We managed to get search features into it that would enhance it for not just genealogy, but scholarship. So you can search by occupation, by religion, by relationship to head of family. So you can find out how many Protestant governess nieces there were in Cork, for example, should you wish to discover something as arcane as that, or Presbyterian butchers in Fermanagh or whatever. But of course, its main use is and always will be for genealogy, for people to discover their own ancestors. And the response to it was fantastic. I think we've had about 25 million hits on the site since it was established. People love it. But it's also lovely to see that the Irish population grasped it firmly without any preconceptions. And even though they might have found things out that they never knew, like their grandfather married twice or some strange child was in the household they hadn't known about, they greeted all this strange information with delight rather than alarm and were happy to embrace it and to realise that that personal as well as political history is complicated.
Will we get to see the previous ones? Is there any plan to go back again into the earlier ones?
The bad bit, sigh. We blew up the 1821, 31, 41 and 51 censuses in the four courts in 1922. The 100th anniversary of that horrific piece of cultural vandalism is coming up at the end of June. The 1861 and 71 censuses were destroyed by government order, not for any good reason. Possibly they thought the information had been transcribed, or we can't prove that. And the 1881 and 1891 censuses were pulped during the First World War because there was a paper shortage.
So it's all gone, all of that.
There are fragments, and pretty good fragments in some cases, 1821, 41, there are some very good fragments of those. But, you know, what makes me weep still is the fact that we've lost the names of the 8 million strong population of Ireland before the famine.
Yeah.
And we could have that if we, if somebody had stopped to think between April and June 1922, when the IRA were occupying the forecourts and the Free State had to fight back under threat from Britain, we might have avoided blowing up 800 years of Irish history.
You mentioned the 1926 census, and there's that 100-year bar on publication. So are we just a few years away from getting our hands on that?
We are, but in fairness, really, there was a massive campaign. We've just come through, as you know, our decade of centenaries, looking at the most turbulent decade in our history in many ways. And one of the things a lot of historians and genealogists wanted was early release of the 1926 census. It's the first census after 1911. We could have had a beginning and an end piece of demography, if you like, to tell us how the population had fallen, where people were now, what was happening, all the interesting questions that the census can answer.
What's the logic?
They're saying that the law is it's shut for 100 years, the Statistics Act of 1926. The response to the 1901 and 1911 censuses was absolutely positive. Nobody complained about it, except one woman who didn't want Tom, Dick and Harry looking at her personal information on the census. But there was only one woman. We're 4 years off the release of the census. I hope it will be released.
Yeah, patience, patience, Katrina.
Patience, which I know is a virtue, but it did drive us a bit nuts. We were hoping to have it out in 2016, 10 years earlier.
Yeah, it would have been brilliant.
Which really would have helped, you know, a lot of people in terms of understanding the outcome.
Okay, bring us right up to date then. We have this census this weekend, and all the talk in our house is what are we going to put into that last box, the time capsule?
I know. Well, can I urge people to put the names of their pets into that box, because they're not included on the census form. And one of the most glorious discoveries made in 1911 was Tatters Cullen, a dog aged 3. He was born in County Longford, living in Blessington Street with a very awkwardly mobile working class family, with daughters trained to be typewriters, as they called them then, and bookbinders and so on. And Tatters was put in because they loved Tatters. Tatters was the name of the dog in the shock role, Diane Boucicault's great melodrama that everyone was going to see in Dublin. So I'd say there were many more Tatters. But it would be great to get the names of pets into the census. Not everyone will do it, but it'd be nice if we had a fair old sprinkling in 100 years' time to cheer everybody up. So people can do whatever they like. They're not letting you put in photographs or paste anything into it. So people should be advised not to try that or to draw. What you want is a short statement. I imagine there'll be a lot about the pandemic and people's experiences of that. So I'm going to have a good old rant for myself. I no longer have a pet, but I'm going to name my previous pet, who was a beautiful cat called Sugarplum, who died some years ago, just so that she lives into posterity. And I imagine there'll be a lot of family lore that would be an absolute treasure trove for people in 100 years' time. And we have to commend the CSO for thinking up this brilliant wheeze that everyone has a moment of creativity on the night of April the 3rd when we're all filling in our forms.
And that was the great Katrina Crowe there with some good ideas about what to put into that last box.